people bringing, or actually God bringing a complaint, a case, a dispute against the people. And in this passage from Isaiah 58, the opposite is happening. The people are bringing a complaint against God. They question in verse 3 of Isaiah 58, why the Lord isn't paying attention to their worship. The people are fasting. They're preventing themselves from eating so that they can have a deeper and more meaningful worship with God. They're bowing down before the Lord, and God isn't paying attention. In fact, in verse 2 of Isaiah 58, we hear this, that day after day, the people worship the Lord. They seem eager to learn His teachings. They act like a nation that wants to do right. They obey His laws. They ask God about justice, and they say even that they enjoy worshiping the Lord. All these things, but God doesn't seem to be paying attention. And so they ask God, what's up? Why aren't you paying attention? And so God tells them flat out what's wrong with their worship. And God says this, on those days that you give up eating, on those days that you fast, on those days where you think you're being especially good at worship, you think only of yourselves. You abuse your workers. You get angry with each other. You even come prepared to fight. No wonder God won't listen to your prayers. In other words, the problem that these people are having is that their worship is really only skin deep. It's like they're coming on a Sunday morning to worship. They go through all the motions. They stand up when they're supposed to. They sit down when they're supposed to. They bow their heads at the right time. They come up. They receive a sacrament when they are supposed to. They look like they're playing the part pretty well. But the second they leave the church, the sanctuary, the synagogue, whatever, it's all forgotten. In fact, before they're outside the outer doors of the church, they're fighting with each other. They're bringing their quarrels that they have with each other right into the sanctuary, and they're bringing it right to battle. Probably because they're a little bit hungry, frankly. I mean, if you're fasting, you're more likely to bring those battles anyway. They're not living the way they're supposed to. And just like in Micah chapter 6, God tells them exactly what worship is supposed to look like. Now, don't get this wrong. This doesn't mean that fasting is bad, that coming to worship, that bowing down, that doing all the things that they are doing by themselves are not bad. What's wrong is that their faith doesn't have any proof to it. So God gives them an idea of what true faith will look like. It looks like worship, in fact, but it also has some other aspects to it. Isaiah 58:6, God says this, I'll tell you what it really means to worship the Lord. Remove the chains of prisoners who are chained unjustly. Free those who are abused. Just a quick comment on that one. On Super Bowl Sunday, it's a known fact that the sex trafficking trade in America is at its most active and its biggest. Today in America, there will be young women, little girls that are traded for sex all throughout this nation because of Super Bowl Sunday. You want to know what it means to worship the Lord? Defend those people, those who are abused. I'll tell you what worship really means, the Lord says. Share your food with everyone who is hungry. Share your home with the poor and homeless. Give clothes to those in need. Don't turn away your relatives. And that might be the hardest one for some of us, frankly. Don't turn away your relatives. Be good to even those who are in your family. When you leave on a Sunday morning from worship, Your faith is a part of you. It's not something you do for an hour each week. It's not just a sacrament you receive. It's bringing that to other people. John, in 1 John, says it this way, and he basically sums up what God says throughout the Old Testament. In 1 John 4:20, John says this: "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." In other words, if we can't love those who are right smack in front of us, the stranger in our midst, the relative before us, the poor, the homeless, the needy, those who are abused, if we can't love those whom we have a very clear picture of what they look at like, then clearly we do not love God. Flat out. John continues, "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." So here we are on Sunday morning, about to receive the sacrament in which we receive the forgiveness of our sins. And we are reminded that we are children of God. We are claimed by him, chosen by him for eternal life, redeemed, bought by the precious blood of God, changed, morphed into a being that he wants us to be, saved even maybe in some cases from abuse, provided for by a God who loves us. How will we be when we leave the doors? Who will we be when we go to work tomorrow? When we engage once again with our family, with this world around us that is in so much hurt? Who will we be? Now, apart from Christ, it frankly doesn't matter. Because the gospel writer and the letter writer, John, also goes on to say this, that we love God because he first loved us. And that's why we come to church on a Sunday morning, to be reminded of this, to hear those words from God that you are forgiven. You are my child. I love you. Our whole worship service is one big I love you from God to us. We love God because he first loved us. And because he first loved us, we go and do that which he has called us to do. Now, we know how God has loved us. Christ didn't go to the synagogue every day and just read scripture and then go home and do whatever. No, he went to work. He went and he fed those who didn't have food. He went and he freed those who were in bondage, even to demon possession. He healed the sick. He showed his love. He obeyed the commands of God. And this is most striking, obviously, in the cross that he took up for us. His suffering, his death, the brutality that was laid upon him, he did for you. This is how he serves us. That was his act of worship to God, his Father, so that you might have faith in him and be saved by him. The light of the world became extinguished for you. And as the kids were told this morning, in baptism, you are then claimed as a child of God. In these things that we receive each, every Sunday morning, you are reminded that as Christ was a light of the world for us, we too then are also called to be light. to depart this sanctuary, bringing the gifts that we have received from God to others. That starts, of course, with sharing God's forgiveness, God's love, God's desire that everybody would be part of His family. And sometimes that needs to be accompanied with a loaf of bread. It needs to be accompanied with picking somebody out of the mire that they are in. Maybe bringing somebody into your home. Caring for those who have no food, have no home, are poor, are in need, are chained and abused. Because this is what worship is. And when we do this, God continues in Isaiah. He says, then, if you do these things, then your light will shine like the dawning sun. And you will quickly be healed. You'll continue to receive what God has for you. You will continue to be part of His family. The glory of the Lord will defend you. And when you beg the Lord for help, He will answer, "Here I am."